Good afternoon, everybody. It's an honor to welcome you all to the Winter Park City Commission of February 10th, 2014, in a beautiful day in our city. We'll begin by asking you to silence your cell phones, please. And I'm going to invite Pastor David Smith of the First Christian Church of Winter Park to lead us in our invocation. Pastor, thank you for being here. And will the audience please remain standing after Pastor Smith's invocation when we have our Pledge of Allegiance?
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you for the wonderful creation you've provided for us. And Lord, we would pray for this commission, for the city. Lord, we pray that you would help us as a city to have an impact on the world around us, to encourage and build each other up. And Lord, as I pray for this commission that they would make wise and just decisions based on the things that would be beneficial to this city and its population. Lord, that they would be concerned about the physical well-being of this community, but also their spiritual well-being. So, Lord, let us have a spiritual impact as well as a physical impact on the people of this wonderful city. And we pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor Smith, for all you do and your church and our community. I know from school that you have to a polling place. We sure appreciate the fact that you open your church for multiple reasons, and thank you so much for that. Mr. Knight, I don't know if there's any agenda items that need to be adjusted or not.
No, sir.
I'd seek a motion to accept the agenda as presented then.
So moved.
Is there a second? Great. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes, and I voted yes also. We've got some wonderful presentations and awards to make, so if you'll allow me the opportunity, I'm going to go down and do that. I'd like to invite Deborah Hendrickson, our Vice President of the Winter Park Chamber, to join me. And she has some great presentations. This is one of my favorite times of the year when the benefits that we all enjoyed in pancakes are divvied out in more ways than one. Deborah.
Thank you, Mayor Bradley. Commissioners, well, on behalf of the alumni of the Leadership Winter Park program, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here today. Well, as you probably know, back in 1998, which was 15 years ago, the Leadership Winter Park alumni, which is part of the Chamber of Commerce, made a commitment to our local schools by creating a project called Supply Our Students, which they like to call SOS, which was an opportunity to raise money for the elementary schools to give back to the students, and this is all Winter Park area schools. Our project founder, Marge Myers, who is the owner of Paco's Restaurant, was also a Leadership Winter Park graduate from Class 3. It was her idea, and she started the Leadership Winter Park Pancake Breakfast, and as you all know, she passed away back in 2009. But she's survived by her husband, Rick Roach, who's on the Orange County School Board. He's also a facilitator for the Leadership Winter Park Orientation Retreat. So we've continued the tradition. We've continued the Leadership Winter Park Pancake Breakfast and in her memory. So the breakfast fundraiser, which is held in Central Park the first Saturday of the month preceding the annual holiday Christmas parade, as I mentioned, the purpose was to raise money for the elementary school students to help them buy school supplies. We have six elementary schools in the area that we support, and as our event has continued to grow throughout the years, we've been able to raise this year, per school, we're going to put $2,500 in the pocket of each school.
Wow.
And last year, that's $500 over last year. And if you go back 15 years, I don't think we gave $500 to each school back in the beginning, so this is a really nice addition. It's $3,000. Thank you. I have my team here to correct me. $3,000. So that's $1,000 over last year, and that means that we've doubled what we gave them the first year. So thank you very much. Okay, so at this point, I get to present the checks to the schools. This is my fun part. If you would welcome to the podium, we have two Orange County Public School board members with us today, Joey Cadle and Nancy Robinson. They're going to be at the podium to help me and make sure I get the. And while they're coming forward, start, I would like to just recognize the team that helped, the members of the current class, the leadership, alumni, staff, everyone who helped with the pancake breakfast. If you could just stand and be recognized. And I must mention our committee chair couldn't be here today, but Rhonda Loft, who spearheaded and was the grand leader, who brought us the $3,000 per school. So we're really thankful for Rhonda. I'm sure she hates to not be here today. Okay, so the first school that I'm going to mention is Aloma Elementary School, and here to accept the check is Mr. Drew Hawkins, the principal. Okay, and representing Audubon is Ms. Mallory Holliday, who's the assistant principal at Audubon. Okay, Brookshire Elementary School, Dr. Mark Rumler. From Domerick Elementary School, Dr. Ronell Crew. And then from Killarney is our Teacher of the Year, Mr. Walden, who's the Teacher of the Year. And also from Killarney is Evangeline Slaughter.
Thank you very much.
He's getting those art supplies right now.
And Lakemont Elementary, Ms. Vange Savilli, Teacher of the Year, and also Dr. Brenda Cunningham, the principal. And then the final check goes to the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You know, Nancy and I get to travel all over the community, all over Orange County. And for me, it's always nice to come home to Winter Park. One of the things that makes the schools so special in the Winter Park community is the support that the schools receive from the city. And the city is part of the school, and the students are part of the city. And whether it's picnic in the park on the 22nd of this month, or whether it's the homecoming celebration in Central Park, we just really appreciate the fact that this city commission looks at all of our children as part of your responsibility to raise them healthy. So thank you so much for all that you do for the schools in the Winter Park community.
I can't add much to that. Joey always does such a great job, but I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it, and I'm going to have to get more pancakes next year. Thank you.
Let's put the school board members in there.
Everybody.
Hey Drew, I still need to come over. I know. I'm still on my list. I know. I can't wait to see it. I'm sorry I haven't. Bobby, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And on behalf of the city, we also want to add our thanks, not just for what our schools do, but also for the benefits that the Pancake Breakfast has brought the city. What a great event that, well, first of all, the pancakes are awfully good, and it's a great time to get together with friends and family in the community. But the fact that the proceeds go for something incredibly worthy like our school system is just very, very powerful. So, Deborah, there are dozens I know to thank, including our own Jerry Warren, who helped make that possible. So thank you all so much for allowing this to happen. I'd like to invite John Holland and Joe Smurdy to come forward. Did I say that right, Joe? Come on up, Joe. Joe Smurdy is our horticultural specialist. And I think you might have some other colleagues that are going to be here with us, John. You know, we are blessed as a city, and I think of all of the great services that our city provides, but you know, some of the hallmarks of our city is the high level of service that we receive as citizens, obviously our commission, but as well as each citizen and visitor. And one of those great areas is due to our employees of the quarter. And today, Joe Smurdy has been selected as the City of Winter Park's Outstanding Employee for the fourth quarter of 2013. He has worked for the City of Winter Park for 11 years, serving in a self-motivating, hard-working professional employee with an upbeat attitude. I don't know that I need to say anything more, Joe. Oh, that we all had that attitude and that kind of level of professionalism that you've exhibited. When Joe heard that Keep Winter Park Beautiful was looking for a place to install one of the first edible orchards in Central Florida, somewhere in Winter Park, he presented his idea to place it in the Arboretum on Park Avenue near Casa Feliz. And you know what? I didn't even know we had one of those. What's in bloom now? We might need to go over and visit. Did you have lunch? Did you have an edible? Updating the old worn-out landscaping with new sod and 45 varieties of fruit trees has given the Arboretum a fresh look. Joe is currently planning a first-of-its-kind moonlight garden along the Morse Boulevard walkway. As Joe maintains the specialty plantings, hanging baskets and flower beds along Park Avenue, he makes a point to meet and greet the store owners, serving as an ambassador for the city. His enthusiasm is truly contagious, and his ideas and projects are a source of pride among his fellow workers, and might I add, all citizens, because we love the aesthetics of our city. That goes a long way to making this a beautiful place. Thank you, Joe, for your hard work and your dedication and your professionalism, and congratulations on being selected as the employee of the quarter. I know John will have some remarks, and I'd like him to have the opportunity before we make these formal presentations, and if there's anything you'd like to add, we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, Winter Park has a lot of great employees, but we've got a lot of super great employees. Our team is, Mayor, but I'd like to have Bruce and Dale stand up, and Mrs. Smurdy also. They are the ones that make Park Avenue look so beautiful. They're the landscape crew. They're the flowers. They're the hanging baskets. They're the guys that put the finishing touches on Winter Park for us, and they do a super great job. But Joe, it's so great to have an employee that is excited about his work every day. I mean, gets up and comes to work excited about what he wants to do and what he can do for the city. It's amazing. You know, when I see Joe coming into my office, I'm going, oh, boy, here comes another one. And he brings us ideas. He's excited. He likes to get out there, gets his hands dirty and is volunteers for anything and everything, as the whole staff does. So I'm proud of these guys. I'm proud of Joe. And thank you, Joe, for all you do.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to thank my amazing wife. She just helps me every day do everything that I do just a little bit better. And I'd like to thank John and Bruce and Dell, Randy, you know, everybody that makes this such a wonderful place to work. I have enjoyed every day that I've come to work here, even through Hurricane Charlie. Hardest part of my day is getting up at 5 a.m. It's great from there on. But I like to say, you know, when I was a kid, I did play in the mud, and now I get paid to do it. Thank you.
It's obvious that Winter Park is better because of these great people that are making a huge difference. Wow, Park Avenue is what it is because of you all. Thank you so much. You know, I need to invite Clarissa Howard and Craig O'Neill to come stand beside me, at least as I do this. They're the behind-the-scenes people. I thought I saw Craig here. Come on up. They and Randy probably ought to stand beside me, too, because it was a true team effort that made this happen. And do we have the 5-minute one at least teed up? Which one do you have teed up? We're going to spend 6 minutes and watch this on national television here in a moment. But just a few pieces of information for those of you who may have turned off the television last Sunday night after the first play. This was a thrilling event for us to participate in, this homecoming, a hero's welcome for a hometown hero, Lieutenant Chuck Nadd. And by the way, the whole staff and those of us who participated had no idea that this would become a Super Bowl ad. We thought we were giving a hometown welcome to a hometown hero. And it was with that spirit that we all participated in a great event on January 8th, this beautiful parade. And by the way, Lieutenant Nadd will be in our city on the 21st, am I correct, of February? And have we decided the exact place? Is it going to be at the public safety building at the memorial that we have there, with another opportunity, and he's going to actually be presenting a flag to us. So this is going to be a nice opportunity. I want to thank, and the city staff behind me are just some of those that made this happen. It was a true city effort that came together. And the amount of work that went into it, I think, shows that we can do things quickly, even during a holiday season, do it incredibly well. I know the production crew that was participatory has literally been all over the world. And they said what a pleasure it was to work with this staff as well as to work with this city. And I think that in and of itself is worthy of the accolades, long before we discuss some of the statistics that this has created. In addition to providing us the opportunity to honor Lieutenant Nadd and the men and women of our military, the city was featured to millions of viewers around the world. And Clarissa, I actually updated the statistics on some of these as of noon today. The 60-second spot, which we'll see in a minute, in addition to the millions that watched it, all Seattle fans at this point probably, by the time it aired in the game, but it has received, and I was kind of interesting because when you all said we were going to make it or had a Super Bowl ad, I went to YouTube, and I think I was like the 142nd person that looked at it. As of today at noon, there have been 8,918,349 views of this ad featuring Winter Park. More than 7 million total national viewership is generated from news clipping services. More than 1 million viewed the teaser, and of the 5-minute mini documentary, which we'll see, 907,427 as of noon today. And that doesn't even include the two or three times Randy and I touched it each. So it's just amazing what's happened. And 550,000 Google News alerts for our city. I know our city has been featured prominently from Good Morning America to the Fox News Channel to Fox Good Morning and Friends to Sean Hannity to other kinds of places. And folks, this is, to me, the best way to feature the best of Winter Park, which is recognizing someone who has returned. I want to personally say thank you to all of our staff who have made this day possible. And yes, please. From our police to our fire to our staff behind us that made this possible, that all basically said, could we do a parade for a hometown hero? And we said, yeah, we like parades. Let's do it. And the fact that it's become a Super Bowl ad just adds to the wonderful day that it was. Thank you all. And for those of the two of you who may not have seen it, we'd like to watch both the one-minute ad and the six-minute, the five-minute story, if that's okay. Anything you all like to add? Thank you all so much.
It feels really good to be back. What's going on up there?
Welcome home, Jeff. This is all for you.
Oh. Are you serious?
Please join me in welcoming Lieutenant Chuck Nan home.
So for those of you who weren't there, before we go to the next one, that was a surprise to his mother. In fact, the whole day ended up being a surprise, which really made it even better. So it was very, very moving. I do have one scene which didn't make the video, obviously, but he saw his mother, and being on top of that cart or whatever you call it, carriage, that's pretty tall. Those animals are very, very large, the Clydesdales. By the way, incredibly well-behaved. I think they stood basically at attention for a couple of hours since his flight was delayed. But he tried to get down off of that when he saw his mother and thought about jumping. And I'm glad he didn't, because it was probably 15 or 20 feet in the air. And I think he thought best about it. But you don't see it in the video, but they actually get a little ladder for him to come down, which was creative. But let's enjoy the five-minute one, which I think really tells the story of why we need to thank those who are serving.
We're all excited to have Lieutenant Chuck Nadd back home in Winter Park, being reunited with his family after a long time of service.
I can't think of anything more important that we can do right now.
A friend of mine told me to check out the VFW website. It said that they were looking to honor one soldier coming home from Afghanistan to represent all soldiers. I thought that Chuck would be the perfect candidate for it.
He was born in America 24 years ago. He's a baby of the family.
He has always been patriotic, happy to be American.
And I knew that he always wanted to serve the country, and eventually he decided that the best way to do that was through military service.
It's his enthusiasm, energy, and he wanted to serve. He wanted to be a part of something bigger than just himself.
To do something for this type of an event where we recognize one of our homecoming soldiers is indeed an honor. It's a privilege.
More important than us being happy about it, it's America needs to understand what this represents. You ask, did you know somebody that served in Iraq and Afghanistan? Typically the answer is going to be no. So it doesn't affect them personally. So they tend to forget, not that they don't care. America does care.
We are symbolically thanking everyone, and not just from these conflicts, but previous conflicts. We should never, ever forget those who have served.
Every once in a while, somebody will come up and say thank you, and it really means a lot, because we didn't get it when we came home.
When I got to my little small hometown in South Carolina, there was nobody out there.
I felt like I just got out of jail or something. I'm disappointed about that.
We didn't tell anybody we were in Vietnam. And that's why
it's for all of us. It's for my friend Andy Rice that didn't come home. But I'm so happy that we're a small part of this. It's a wonderful thing to do.
I applaud Budweiser as a sponsor for doing this, because this is just a great thing to let the community know, hey, listen, all these people are getting out this year, and we need to really do the right thing by them.
It's been so exciting. Everyone has wanted to pitch in and help out and be there and contribute in any way that they could. So we're all in on the surprise. It's going to be pretty exciting, and I'm so delighted for him that he has, you know, this support from his hometown.
Wow.
Come here. Come here. I'm going to see you.
I think it's wonderful that Winter Park is willing to step up and do this for this American hero, but we want every community in America to step up and do what they can, whatever that is.
It doesn't have to be a parade, but even if it's just a couple of folks recognizing the sacrifice that they've made.
A simple thank you goes so far.
What's going on up there?
Welcome home, Jeff. This is all for you.
Oh. Are you serious?
We will never forget as a country. The freedoms that we enjoy is because someone has given days of their life, or in some sad cases, given their complete life for our freedoms.
For him to be back home.
See something like what happened today, I think proves that America is special. I think the strength of our country comes from how well we come together as a community.
It's a great day in America. It's a great celebration of America.
I hope every town is able to do something of this nature and set an example for how many people could be recognized and the soldiers are coming back.
Thank you. And for those Broncos fans, yes, by all means. Who didn't see it live, then Lieutenant Nad and Ms. Cantwell were actually in the audience, and they said from Winter Park, Florida, so it was nice to have that additional press. Thank you, Winter Park, for all you did to make that happen. Commissioner Sprinkle.
I was just going to say that I understand it was the third most popular ad that they had on the Super Bowl, so it won lots of awards like that.
I've heard third, I've heard second, so I'll take second.
I'm sorry, it was second.
But you're absolutely right, and a great way to feature our city. That concludes my ceremonial parts. I do have an ministerial duty to do, and that is an appointment to our Code Enforcement Board, along with appointments to our Civil Service Board. Commissioners, as you know, our Civil Service Board is actually appointed at the beginning of the year, not in the what you'd kind of call the beginning of our commission year. So let me do the Code Enforcement Board. I'm appointing to the board Chris Tabor. Chris Tabor, and that application is in your packet. I would move their appointment. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Ms. Brand, do I need to open this for public comment?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Then to our Civil Service Board, reappointing former Mayor Gary Brewer, Paula Satcher, both who have served very, very well on our board to this point, as well as Mr. William Swartz, a longstanding retired employee of our city, replacing Mr. Frazee, who is elected to resign. So. And I thank Rick for his service on that board. I would move all three to the Civil Service Board. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. Commissioner McMacken, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. That concludes my my commentary and remarks. I think we're moving to Mr. Knight. Randy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're at 28 days of our 45 days to look at baseball, The next meeting will put us right at 42 days, so I'd planned on the report coming back at that meeting. I wanted to see if the commission was interested in having a work session between now and then, just to, you know, for us to kind of go over where we are in the process and talk about that. I would suggest next Monday, if that works for everybody, maybe 3:30 or 4 o'clock, whatever the pleasure of the commission, if you want to have that.
I think it's an excellent idea.
4 o'clock? I'm open any time for me. But
does 4 work?
A 4 on the 17th?
We're waiting for Commissioner.
Yes, that works fine.
Randy, will you be getting something out prior to that so we ask you to look at?
I will try. I'll get out as much as I can.
Let's do 4
on Monday.
Yeah.
4 on Monday the 17th.
Great.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Randy, it doesn't need to be complete or
beautiful. I understand.
Just working papers are good.
All right. Well, I think in the 45-day report, the way this was brought, it's not going to be complete or beautiful. I think that it's going to be.
Not hold back.
It's certainly a work in progress, but hopefully we can talk about it. That'll be great. And Monday at 4.
That concludes my report, but I'd be glad to answer
questions of the city manager. Mr. Knight, the only question I have, and it's based on your report, there are like three, I guess I counted. I'm going to say the Alfond Inn, the Capen House, and the church project that are kind of all works in progress at various stages of works in progress. The New Hope Baptist Church project, have they been so bold as to declare when they think this might be done?
They have not. They're raising the money to complete that project as they go, so it's not going as quickly as we would like it to, of course.
The Alfond Inn, do we know when this temporary certificate of occupancy might be removed?
Yes, they're very close to getting their final CO, and also you're about to get your six-month report on parking and traffic that we promised. So.
And then the Capen House, I guess they do have the funds to proceed, or I think in our last meeting you mentioned they've filed or accepted their building permit for that. Is that
correct? Yes, that's my understanding.
So that's ongoing.
What's holding them up right now is a sewer line that runs under the pad where they want to put the building, and they had to get some DEP approvals on that. And I got an email from Debbie Kamansky today that I need to. They're requesting assistance in getting that sewer line moved. It's about a $26,000 project, or $28,000, based on the two estimates they got. They don't have the funding for that at this moment, so they're asking for our assistance. I'm going to look at that and see if there's something we could do, and if so, I'd have to come back to the commission for approval. But
I guess my only concern, and it's really not, it's not reflective upon you, it's reflective upon all of us and all of our staff, and these are not to the scale of the building in Altamont Springs that started and never finished, but I think that's a glaring illustration for anybody that drives on I-4 that things need to come to an end.
Right.
And I don't want to be looking a year from now at a New Hope Baptist Church project that still is on this list. I don't want to be a year from now with a temporary certificate of occupancy for the Alfond Inn, and I don't want to be a year from now looking at two halves to a Capen House.
Right.
So I don't know what we have to do to encourage, if there's even anything we can. I realize these are private sector projects, but it seems like something should give at some point. So that's just a cautionary note. Other questions of the city manager? We can go to the city attorney's report. Mr. Brown?
Nothing to report, sir.
Any questions of our city attorney? Okay, hearing none, I'll take up citizen comments near the 5 o'clock hour or at the end of the meeting, whichever comes first. Consent agenda item. Will the commission on this matter?
Move to approve.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull an item.
Yes, sir.
9C, please.
9C. I'd like to pull 9B5, please, the Katie Way pool. With that, Commissioner Cooper, you moved to accept the consent agenda with the exception of those two items, and it was seconded by Commissioner Leary. Any further discussion? Any public comment? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Knight, and thank you for the information you provided me about the Katie Way pool renovation. This was something that we had budgeted, correct?
Right.
That was part of a
larger project.
A larger project, and that larger project is not necessarily taking place, but we needed to do the maintenance and the update and whatever from the part that we agreed to. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The pool shell
component of the project we're moving forward with. The Y has not yet raised the funds for their half of the cost of the heater, so we're not moving forward with that at this point. They're working on it, but they're not ready at this point to move forward.
And we did not hold this part contingent upon that, did that, we?
That's correct.
That was just something that we knew we needed to do as part
we
of
held, the project. We held our match related to the pool heater and the brick pavers, but not the pool siding.
So we can do this and still do those other. They're not.
Yes, sir.
It's not like while you're digging up the streets, you got to do them both at the same time.
It would be nice to do them both at the same time, but this pool shell needs to be replaced now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move the approval of the award as well as the money to be spent. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Sprinkle. Any further discussion? Any citizens wishing to speak to us? Seeing none, I'll close the floor. You already vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Commissioner McMacken, item C.
Randy, and while I approve of putting as many things as possible on one pole so we don't have multiple poles out there, do we normally do this with the private? It's more along that line than it is whether it's physically on there or not.
Right. Well, yes, we do. On all of our towers have several private cell companies on there.
I knew we had cell companies on there.
Yeah, this particular space is what the cell companies would refer to as a dead space. It's not a space they could put their antennas. So it is a space we can utilize and not have any impact on the other utilization of the antenna.
Okay. I would move for approval of that item then, Mr. Mayor.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Sprinkle. Any further commission discussion? They did mention that there was, in addition to their lease payments, I guess certain communications that they would be honored to have. I don't know.
That's right. They're willing to do public service announcements, even offered if the commission so desired to have a weekly radio program. Well, we didn't commit to that.
I don't know that we want that. But
nor did I commit Clarissa to providing them.
We could certainly have a biweekly program. So. But there were certain, I mean, there could be certain public service
yes.
things or whatever that could be very worthy. I don't know what those might be, but announcements or whatever. So, okay, thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any further commission discussion? Any citizens wishing to speak to us? Yes, sir. That's great. We need you to come up and identify yourself. Please.
Thank you, by the way, for approving.
Would you identify yourself, please?
My name is Lori Bonicelli. I'm a representative for Hispanic Broadcasting United private citizen. So just so that you all know, this is, and it's part of the presentation that they had previously made, but this is approved by the FCC. Its intent purpose is educational as well as public safety and any type of emergency management announcements that you may have. So I just wanted to clear that up. It's basically for Winter Park. It's unlike most other broadcast companies or broadcast licenses, this the monetary gain is not the primary goal. Is essentially the difference between this particular station. So.
And
sure.
When you offered for the city to do a program once a week, what did you envision? What were you thinking?
It's really open to anybody that has a message. I mean, there's no written guidelines or anything, not even a time guideline, really. There's nothing, there's no rules to this or anything like that. But if the city
has a vision, though?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to, of course, be something that's timed, probably within an hour or something like that, that you guys have a message that you want to get out. Any type of emergency situations that you feel you need to get out to the community, but any message to the community within probably an hour time frame or longer if it's really important, you know, I would think would be acceptable. So I just wanted to clear that up to the rest of you so that you know.
It's not the Ken Growler or Carolyn Cooper hour, probably. Unless we could speak in Spanish, it might be. You know, it might be good.
Sometimes we might be able to use that.
It is in English,
well,
by the way.
Yeah. I mean, once a year, we do our State of the City or some of the kind of honoring. Or there's programs that happen in Central Park that I'm sure would be great to feature. veterans program, et cetera. Those are good opportunities.
The formatting for the station will be in English, this FYI. And it'll be Barbra Streisand and things of that nature, so just so you know.
All the more you don't want the Ken Bradley hour. I don't know about the rest of you all, but you know, the Ken Bradley hour with Barbra Streisand, I just wouldn't. That's not the duet you want to see.
Karaoke. So.
Yeah. Other questions? I close the floor for public comment. You already vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Item 10A. Mr. Knight, I don't know who's presenting this.
Jeff,
come on up.
In response to our notice of disposal, we've received an offer to swap the southern portion of the parking piazza with 12 parking spaces in it for our 34 feet of grass that is to the south, to the left of the Heritage Center. Actually, there's 10 feet beyond the carport until you reach this new property line. What it does for the private owner is it evens out that property, as you see, and creates a buildable lot on the corner, which is zoned single family, R1A, so they could put a house there.
Is that lot 17?
Yes.
According to this map, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And what it does for the city is it gives us unified control and ownership of the entire parking piazza if we want to use the entire thing for events of any kind, and we can close all the spaces and we have unified control and ownership. There isn't a lot of value to 34 feet of grass. At one time, we had proposed to buy those spaces in the parking piazza for $60,000. So certainly we feel that offer that the commission agreed to before is equal in value to what the property appraiser says this 34 feet is worth, which is somewhere in the $40,000 range. So would that answer your question?
Great. Questions of staff? Commissioner Cooper?
Jeff, I have no problem with relinquishing that particular piece of property now, especially the only thought in my mind for years has been it would have been a good home for the chapel, but now that we have that taken care of, my question would be, do we have a code available parking for the Heritage Center? If you looked at the square foot of the Heritage Center, is the adjacent parking adequate for that? Or is there a future potential that we would need that property for parking?
No, because the rationale for the Heritage Center just having the carport as well as keeping it in a residential look was that it is city-owned property, owned parking across the street in the parking piazza.
Well, the next question I have, because I don't have a problem getting rid of that property at all, I'm not sure I totally understand the benefit of us buying and taking off the tax rolls the parking places that are already dedicated by code to Dexter's. Don't those parking places serve Dexter's requirement for parking?
Yes.
So they're always going to stay parking. So even if the city doesn't own them, they will always be parking. Is that fair to say? It has to stay parking.
Yes. The viewpoint, though, is that we can make more of a productive use of the entire parking piazza than we can 34 feet of grass, which we don't
if we were going to build a parking garage, I could see that would be true.
Well, really? I guess.
I was just kind of toying in my own mind with what is the benefit of us buying it and taking it off the tax rolls, and that wasn't real clear to me.
But we're not buying it, we're exchanging it.
Well, it's the same thing. We're taking money that we would just put in the coffer and instead buying.
No, we're taking land and exchanging. I think it's a big difference.
Okay.
And the new property will go on the tax rolls, of course.
Right. But we could have two pieces of property on the tax rolls, still keep the parking, because it has to stay parking because it's designated for Dexter's. That was my only question.
So you're advocating selling 16 instead of exchanging for it?
Yes, sell that to the owner 17. Oh. I don't have a problem with that. The question is, why do we want to own the parking that's already dedicated to Dexter's that has to stay parking because it's satisfying the code? The only reason that I could see is if in the future we thought we might need to build a parking structure there. Other than that, I can't imagine what benefit it would be. We'd just have to maintain it instead of someone else maintaining it, right?
It's more about controlling it for events so that we can control the parking lot, close it if we want to, regulate who parks in there, who doesn't, and, you know, for MLK Day and things like that.
We could charge to that lot if we wanted to. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity.
Well, that's a thought. That is a good thought. I just didn't see the value in taking it off the tax rolls and owning it, and I still don't, but I'm 100% in favor of getting rid of the other piece of property, so I don't have a problem with that.
Jeff, do you know what the taxable value is on the property and what the city receives every year from it?
The grass strip?
I looked at ours and the value, $40,000, I forgot to look at the value.
What was ours? That's kind of comparable.
Well, of course, ours is tax exempt, but if you look at the per square foot value of single family land in that amount, it's about $40,000.
Taxable value?
Yeah.
Which means the city receives?
Well, nothing, because it's tax exempt. Yeah.
But if it would be
Yeah. Little. I didn't look at the value of those 12 spaces on the tax rolls.
$40,160 to what the city receives.
Well, if we ever wanted to sell it again, it'd be a whole lot more valuable than a 15 acres or whatever that little feet of swatch is.
$160 a year?
That's what I just wanted to put.
No, I mean, I'd much rather have 12 parking spots that are worth a lot more to our citizens than a stretch of grass.
But they can't go away. And I'm not arguing it because I don't care, but
I can park
parking
there and so can you. So.
But I was just going to say, if you're worried about the taxable value, I just wanted to know what that was. $160.
And said differently, somebody could put up a big fence around it and say, this is only for the parking of somebody, too. So. Am I correct? I mean, those 12 spots, if they were owned privately, they had never gotten nasty with the city, but they could get nasty with
normally, but
the rest of us.
We did put a condition on years ago that they couldn't reserve them all because we wanted them to float between their use and ours.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem owning.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Further to commission discussion? Open the floor for public comment if there are citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You already vote?
Yes.
Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. And it's my understanding this is a notice of disposal, so then we have to still agree to the contract. Is that correct, or does this do that?
Well, at this point, the city attorney will draft the contract, and then we'll go to closing. So.
Okay. Do we take further commission action after that?
No.
Or will it happen by the notice? Okay.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
So it's like a sole source notice of disposal? We don't know
well,
who that's anybody else.
We already went out to bid.
Already did.
He was the only one that put in for it.
Item 11A. Mr. Brown, if you'd read item 11A into the record, please.
Yes, sir. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Section 58-84 relating to non-residential zoning districts and the conditions required for a special event, providing for severability, codification, conflicts, and an effective date.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I was a big proponent of this and still am. However, it's come to my attention from a resident that there is a potential conflicts that we may not have foreseen. A couple of other festivals that fall within the 30-day window on either side of either the spring show or the fall show. And I still would like to see this proceed, but I don't know if we need to. If I can ask Mr. Brown as part of this question.
Sure.
Do we need, if we were to amend this to include those, could we do that as part of this, or would we have to?
I would bring it back. I would recommend it would be
what
enough of a change. Bring it back for second reading again.
The question was, who told me that? That was the Doggy Art Festival falls within the realm of the spring show within 30 days of that, of that. And
it's not competition.
Well, but it is a. I don't want to muddy the water because I want to see this thing go forward. But it is a technically an art show, and it's a in effect a private art show that the city does allow to occur on.
So can we just have a grandfathering in there within those 30
days? Well, that's my question, I guess, to Larry.
I have a suggestion. Commissioner Cooper is correct. It's not competition with the two art festivals that were under consideration, but the plain language that's proposed would preclude it. So my suggestion would be that at the very end of 15, you just add in or if the display or offer for sale takes place on city property with the city's express permission, because it's my understanding Doggy Art Festival is on a city park and the city's approved it.
Yeah, but Larry, doesn't that just destroy the whole point of what this ordinance is trying to do? The idea was we were, I mean, I'm still against it because I think it's ultimately going to have unintended consequences that we don't like, but
this was one.
But I mean, how can you say we'll let it be on city property, but we won't let it be on private property?
Right. Well, I did research in preparation for this because I know that anytime you regulate public displays that are, you know, part of an expressive component, you get First Amendment considerations. The federal court cases allow for what the cases refer to as government speech. So government speech is where a city has decided that on its property it is going to select one component of speech or expression. It doesn't have to allow all. So that's what I'm looking at. So, you know, it's a lot of this is a policy decision. You know, I'm assuming that a majority from the first time concluded that protecting the brand of the spring and fall art festivals was important enough to provide for a blackout period. And if you've done that, you could say that if the city on its property displays or allows for the display or offer for sale of art on city property, that is government speech and it would be permitted. So it's your pleasure if you want to make these business decisions or not.
And let's be clear, because I'm against it doesn't mean that I'm against protecting the Sidewalk Arts Festival. I just think this gets into some really gray areas that I'm not sure we as a city have the right to be involved with, personally.
Can we do the same thing without having to put it like this? I know that we've been studying it for a while and you've redrafted this language, but can you do what the intent is without having to put it in here, or is it just safer to have it here? Because I thought they had to come to us anyway to get permission.
Now you gave me authority to approve that event.
Yes. I think there were five or up to five.
Up to two?
Yes, that's because of dogs. That's not
but
because
that was
of
because
art.
Of dogs. Because of dogs.
Right.
That, but
if they had airplane art, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've had the same concerns the mayor has expressed regarding this. I just, the unintended consequences are shaking me a little bit. And I'm not sure where we end up with this. And that's why, with the grandfathering language, at least we took care of, or that I suggested, at least we take care of what's already been in place at the city. Is there another way to handle it, Larry, in that regard? Rather than create new language to say, this just says whatever's been done before will continue to be allowed to be done.
The problem is whenever you regulate expression, the courts require real precision and any kind of openness. So if I could get a little more, I mean, any kind of change of the type we're discussing would require a comeback anyways. So if I could get a little more direction, what you would like to see, I'll work on it and try to simplify the language. I understand the intent is to preserve, protect the brand of these two art festivals, which have become traditional in the city. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, and I'll try to, you know, stick with that. But also the city has given permission for, is it two doggy events in the parks?
Right, the other one's not art-related.
So really just one art-related doggy event, which of course has to be within the blackout period we've defined. I could limit, is that what you're looking for, Commissioner Leary, is basically referring to specifically the one city-approved doggy art festival? And I could, you know, make the further finding that, you know, it's, that really doesn't infringe on the brand anyways of the Sidewalk or fall art festivals, the spring or fall art festivals.
I'm looking for a way to do it and to give the city manager the ability to kind of manage this without putting everything in an ordinance that can, and again, maybe that puts us in
that's
challenge.
That's probably the, what I mean, one thing you'll see when you look at federal court litigation, whenever cities delegate to the city manager the ability to rove around and determine what is or is not offensive or what is or not, you know, consistent with city standards, you lose automatically.
I'd like to make it as clean as.
But I'm so confused, Larry, on this one, because now we're going to allow an exception.
Yes, sir.
Which to me defeats.
No, I don't.
What
know
we're trying to. Excuse me. I'm
sorry.
Which defeats what we're trying to accomplish, which is basically saying these are our premier brands, and we shouldn't let. So I mean, I'm just asking this as an open-ended question, and that is, so we like the Doggy Arts Festival. But if Sarah wants to have an arts festival and rent a space somewhere and do it, so we're going to say no.
That's correct. Yes.
And I want to protect our arts festivals as well as anybody does, but that just to me is a very ugly place to be as a city, which is why I'll vote no again.
Why don't we simply leave the ordinance as it is and ask the Doggy Door to move their art festival a week in one direction to move it out of the window? I mean, I don't think the Doggy Art Festival has, you know, I don't know that it couldn't be perfectly successful one week in a different direction. I don't know how far into the window of preservation it falls. Do you understand what I'm asking, Tom?
Is it
a week from the edge? If it is, could we ask him to please move it a week so that we can go on with an ordinance that makes sense and protects the community from a far greater threat? I mean, I think we all agree that the Doggy Art Festival is just fine. And the question is, could it be a week later? To me, I would just leave the ordinance as simple as possible and as clean as possible so that it's enforceable. Otherwise, it gets so complicated that we get to a point where we're in court all the time arguing whether we're a week out or not.
It was April 15th last year.
And how does that fall, Randy?
We have how many days?
30 days before and after.
Yes, that's roughly, it can move a week.
Yeah, if it moved a week, it would be fine. Then I'm perfectly comfortable with the ordinance as written. I don't think it's.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
I feel like we're trying to kill a gnat with a hammer here, and I don't know why, but I just feel like we're trying so hard to make something work that maybe it doesn't have to work that way. If we already we got here because somebody asked that we give them teeth, right? Isn't that why we got here? Somebody asked if we give them teeth to deny. Isn't that how we got here? Okay, so if that's what we're trying to do, I just think you even change it to 20 days if that's what you want to do. I mean, there's a number of ways you could change it. I'm wondering if Doggy Art Festival would even be included in that. See, I don't think it should be included in the definition of one. And that might answer it, but maybe we need to take one more look at it.
Right, just make a definition of what we're talking about.
If I change what is included, so it only applies to the display or offer for sale of fine art, you know, Doggy Art Festival probably doesn't fall within that, but then perhaps that company that comes into town and doesn't fall within that definition
either.
That's something other cities in Florida have experienced, according to what staff reported to me, is that there's one company in particular that will try to palm off of the brand of a local art festival. There's a lengthy ALR that annotates cases
from
American Law Reports. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I could forward it to each of you, and you could at your
leisure. I'm paying you to do that, Larry.
But basically, it annotates how cities around the country have dealt with limiting and trying to promote the branding of art festivals and farmers markets and other things that are very a matter of branding for the city. So it's something that other cities have confronted and dealt with, and I'm happy if you want to pull it, I could provide more information, let you folks study it and consider it.
I don't think that's the issue. The issue isn't whether we need to study it more. I think the issue is what are the unintended consequences of that. So if you don't have to study it, has looked at unintended consequences, that's the question on the table.
Yes, sir.
I understand it from both Commissioner McMack and Commissioner Leary, and I think I heard Commissioner Sprinkle raise the question, that I mean, Carolyn, you and I haven't. but is there unintended consequences from this? I think that's the question on the table.
Well, the only one I'm aware of, because it was brought to my attention, is Dog Yard Festival.
Randy, when? I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I?
No, by all means, Commissioner.
Randy, where is, how far out are we on the festival?
The days?
Well, we're almost.
Third weekend in March is the big festival.
Right.
And then.
So how many?
So we're close.
I haven't seen, I can't, I was just Googling. I don't see a date for the 2014 Dog Art Festival yet. So it may be out there. I just didn't find it.
I didn't have that either. And again, the intent was to try to make it as clean as possible without running into any of these, and we've got one that I'd even shorten the time period if we knew it was 21 days out, I'd make it 20 days.
And John Hall may know better than me or Mr. Wiggins. I don't know that answer.
George has something he'd like to say.
Can I make a comment?
Mr. Wiggins.
The special event ordinance was intended to deal with private property chiefly. So on this particular situation, this was intended to deal with a art show on private property and not an event on public property. I don't know if that small exception can be put in this paragraph that's proposed and would cure the whole situation of, well, it's kind of evolved over the years since we created the special event ordinance to include some of the festivals that are on public property. And because we have a mechanism through our special event ordinance process to process it among all the departments, but it was originally conceived to deal with special events on private property. I would think you could put very simply in there that this is exclusively deals or with this paragraph
which was essentially where Mr. Brown was at.
Right. I think you could put that in this sections to make it absolutely clear, then you wouldn't have to worry about the Doggy Art Festival or any kind of a festival that's on city property or public property.
I agree with that. I mean, that's at the very beginning I said you could put a comma at the end and say, I'm sorry, Mayor.
Well, no, I'm going to ask the what if question. So if, and I guess the question is a fine art show. If the fine art show says, well, I'd like to exhibit on public property, I'd like to be in the civic center or the community center, what would we say? No?
There's no legal requirement to approve that.
But
the city would have the right to determine that if it offers certain areas of its public property from time to time as available for lease to people who want to display art and offer it for sale, you could certainly choose. And that gets back to the government speech concept where the city gets to decide, and there's no First Amendment issue, that it doesn't want to offer its public premises as available for a private art show. It could literally discriminate in favor of Doggy Art Festival and say, yeah, Doggy Art Festival, we're okay letting that on city property even if within the 30-day blackout before or after, but we don't want a private vendor or someone else proposing to put something there during the blackout period, which the city in its judgment would conclude infringes on the brand of the fall or spring art festivals.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Please.
Larry, if what's the process to, if we were to decide to have you tweak this to address that question, what's the process? Do we table this or
motion to amend? If you want me to come back with something significantly different, I would suggest tabling it and let me come back with something.
Well, I guess my question then
this is on second reading, so I would be concerned about if it's coming back substantially different that we would.
My question then becomes if we were to make the comma.
On private property, or
is that significant enough to bring it back, or can we do a motion to amend it?
No, you could.
Oh, you would move to amend, and I would do it, but it would come back for second reading.
It would still come back for second. That is
why would it have?
Because in my view, that's a significant enough change from the language that under case law would require a second reading.
In that case, that's the motion I would like to make.
So, just so it would be clear, Commissioner Mackin is moving that
that the additional language be added and that that comes back at second reading at our next meeting. Is that correct, Commissioner Mackin?
Yes, sir.
Good. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Great. We're voting on this now. Is that correct? Do we have to vote on that? Yes,
I guess we have to vote on the motion to amend, yes, sir.
Yeah. And it's a motion to amend, but it's also a motion to bring it back because we're not approving this tonight. Discussion? Open the floor for public comment. Citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter are welcome to at this time.
Yes.
That's seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
No. Mr. Brown, if you could read the second readings of both of the ordinances in, and I'm going to have a simultaneous public hearing on this matter since it's connected.
Yes, sir. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Map, so as to establish single-family residential future land use on the annexed property at 612 East Lake Sioux Avenue, and to indicate the annexation of this property on the other maps within the comprehensive plan, more particularly described herein, and secondly, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article 3, Zoning, and the official zoning map so as to establish single-family R1AA zoning on the annexed property at 612 East Lake Sioux Avenue, more particularly described herein.
We'll need two motions. Will the commission on the first one?
Move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooper. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. I'd like to get a motion on the table for the second reading of the second ordinance.
Move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Leary, and then Commissioner Mackin is a second.
Yes.
Discussion? Hearing none, I'll open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wish to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. Y'all ready to vote on the first ordinance, which is on second reading?
Yes.
Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Now the clerk will read the roll on the second reading of the second ordinance.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Welcome to Winter Park, should be family.
Yes.
We're going to go to city commission reports, and then whenever there's time at the end, we'll go to the citizen comments. Mr. Leary?
None, sir.
Ms. Sprinkle?
We got a letter today from DeLonge, who was asking about the musicians once again on the avenue. I don't know where we are with that. I just wanted us to find out if there's been any changes about that and where we were.
I think I can address that. The Park Avenue Association is going to be bringing a recommendation soon, and they're going to formalize it. That's the last we asked them to bring us something they were concerned about because they were a little split on it before. So they're bringing something back to us, hopefully, at the next commission meeting.
All right, thank you.
That was exactly my recollection, that they were coming back. So.
And the other one is, where are we standing on chickens?
I like them fried. My understanding is we were following the Orlando test program, which I believe still has another year to go.
Okay.
We had said a year after whatever the ordinance was in place, we would look at it.
Okay.
Do you remember what the timing is on theirs?
I'm not sure what theirs.
We'll find out when theirs is finalized.
So what is the standing currently in the city?
In the city of Winter Park, they're still prohibited.
Thank you.
Mr. Sprinkle, any other questions?
That's it. I'm sorry. Thanks.
I have nothing this evening.
Commissioner McMackin.
I have nothing either, Mr. Sprinkle. Thank you.
Oh, can I rewind? I'd like to rewind. I just want to share something with you because it's so.
It might take 20 minutes.
No, it's just incredible. It might. Well, it's very incredible. Lieutenant Nad was actually in my son's class at Trinity, and I went to visit him this weekend. And what Jeffrey told me, which I found fascinating, was Lieutenant Nad, even in the ninth grade, had decided he was going to be president of the United States. And he was very serious about that. And I think he's well on his way. And his public service, certainly through the military, will make him a fine leader.
So you went to see your son, not Lieutenant Nad?
Not Just
for the record.
Well, he certainly got more pings than... John Elway.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Sure.
Peyton Manning.
I have nothing to report. I will open the floor for public comment if there's any citizens wishing to speak to us about matters that are not on our agenda. Once, twice, Mr. Brown or Mr. Knight, do I need to stay here until 5 o'clock to make sure
that we know there's no voting periods?
By acclamation, then we'll adjourn. Have a wonderful day, everybody.